Well, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross. On the third day, he was resurrected. And now he is still with me, or he is with me as I'm living my life with him. On this testimony, what would you respond or what would you think? You would say, yes, that's true. Jesus is with you if you're a Christian. And I've also experienced that, you might say. And that's because you can see Jesus clearly. However, some people may say, yes, I believe that Jesus is with me, and I believe that he is with me because of what the Bible says that, but I don't really sense that. So today, we're looking at people after they put their faith in Jesus Christ and how that kind of changes their perception of Jesus changes as their faith becomes deeper as a Christian. In today's passage, let me first explain that verses 9 and thereafter actually probably are starred in your Bible, and there's probably a footnote that says something to the effect that verses 9 through 20 in the earliest manuscripts actually aren't listed. And let me explain a little bit about this. The book of Mark was written by Mark. And the original document, of course, was written by Mark, but that actual copy doesn't exist anymore. And so the Bible you have is actually based on the original document, which has been transcribed many, many times. So verses 9 through 20 are believed to not have been written in Mark's original document. And so it's possible that verses 9 through 20 have been like added afterward in order to make the book more comprehensible to later generations. However, if you kind of compare the content with the other Gospels, you can see that it doesn't contradict him, and that's why it's included in the Bibles, most Bibles today. And so today we're going to look at this passage while reflecting on parallel passages just for confirmation. Today we're looking at the topic of meeting the resurrected Christ. And for us, to get to know Jesus, what does that actually mean? We're looking at this topic with three main points. The first topic today, or the first subject, is about Mary Magdalene and how we can learn the stage at which it is communicated from someone. Looking at verse 9, it's talking about how she was the first one to meet the resurrected Christ. If you look at parallel passages, you can see that the same content is described. On the morning of when Jesus was resurrected, first Mary Magdalene went to Jesus' tomb. She saw it was empty and was surprised and went to call out to Peter and John. Then two other women came to the tomb. They went in the tomb and they saw an angel who also said that Jesus was resurrected, and they went to tell the disciples. Then, as that was going on, Mary Magdalene went to Peter and John to go back to the tomb, and they saw it was empty and went somewhere. However, Mary Magdalene remained and cried in the tomb. At that time, the resurrected Jesus Christ appeared to her. So Mary Magdalene, just exactly who was she? Magdala is actually the name of an area that's on the west bank of Galilee. And in those days, there would have been a lot of people with the name of Mary. And so they had the location where they were from added to their name to discern which Mary you were talking about. She was the first witness of Jesus' resurrection. For that, she is famous. But actually, the Bible doesn't tell much other than that about her. So she's kind of like a question mark in a sense. In the Da Vinci Code, it actually referred to her as Jesus' wife. But of course, that's not possible. In the Bible, it says that there is one point about Mary Magdalene, and that's what's mentioned in the passage today. And also in Luke 8, In Luke 8:2, it says, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits, diseases, Mary called Magdalene. To have an evil spirit means that the person is not in control of their own spirit, and so it would have been a very painful experience. And she had 7 evil spirits, it said. So this would have been a very, very difficult circumstance to be in. She met Jesus and was released of these evil spirits. It's likely she was very excited, and she was finally able to be herself again. Jesus Christ changed her life, and she wanted to follow him in response to that and go from Galilee to Jerusalem. And she would have seen Jesus on the cross. Then she was the first one to meet the resurrected Christ, and this was truly a form of God's grace. To be the first witness of this did exactly what she should have, in a sense. She went to call the disciples to tell them that she had seen the resurrected Lord. At that time, how did the disciples react? They didn't believe. They were like, this is no way this could be true. At this time, the disciples received information about the resurrected Christ from Mary Magdalene. How about your case? Who did you hear about the resurrected Christ from? It's likely you heard about him from your friend or your family or other people that you know. You would have heard, wow, Jesus is great. He's taken all your sin upon the cross, and he died on the cross and was resurrected after 3 days and lives with you. When you heard this for the first time, how is it that you thought about it? Likely, you would have been just like the disciples, thinking, there's no way I could believe something like this, perhaps. You would have had a lot of doubts or questions, likely. And likely, you know, that is just the true response a human would have. When you hear something for the first time or new information, and it doesn't have any impact or response to something you haven't experienced, it's difficult to accept. If you had already met several resurrected people, you would have been like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. It would have been really easy for you to believe. However, that wasn't the situation and isn't today. When you hear about a resurrection, people of my generation would think, resurrection? That's not something like Dragon Ball in the Japanese comics. In the Dragon Ball comic, there's this like 7-ball thing, and this character will grant any one wish. And there was a this request that's made a couple times about resurrection, and so people can be resurrected several different times, and then it causes a problem in the comic. Akira, who made this comic, actually has passed away recently, and so I encourage you to follow up on it and read what he's written. In our world, though, it's very different from the world of Dragon Ball, because we don't see people resurrected on a daily basis. That's why it's very difficult for people to be able to understand that concept and then also believe that this resurrected Jesus is in you and are with you with your daily life. As for ourselves, when we meet the resurrected Jesus, we have to first hear about it, of course, from someone. And at that time, it's likely difficult for people to believe the very first time they hear about him. But if you have the desire, then you will follow, or you will truly take a look at God's word. And when you truly take an interest in God's word, you can truly see that this is the truth. And that leads to the second point today, how the disciples were on the road to Emmaus. This is referring to the meeting the resurrected Lord through the word. Verse 12, afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country. This actually is reflected to the same passage in Luke as well, and how they met up with people on the road. Here it says 2, and it's talking about 12, not 12 of the 2 of the 12 disciples. There were other disciples, of course, that Jesus had, not just the 12. And so it's likely that these were two of the 72 disciples that are mentioned in Luke 10. And one person seems actually mentioned. It's Cleopas. And the other person's name actually isn't mentioned here. These two were headed to Emmaus, which is about 11 kilometers northwest. They had heard about what had happened in Jerusalem, and they were talking about that on their way. They were talking about how Jesus had died, buried, and then how his body was mysteriously gone. However, as they were talking and walking along the road, Jesus Christ himself came up to them and walked along with them in their discussion. If someone just joins into you as you're on your way somewhere, that wouldn't have been something strange at that time. In Jerusalem, that would have been normal. But for here, us in Kanto area of Japan today, that would have been strange. However, if you went to Kansai, Japan, it would have been normal. Because Kansai people are really like close to each other. And if you get on a bus or a train, for example, people just start talking to each other and become friends just on the train. When I went to Kansai for the first time, there was something that surprised me. When I got on the train, there was this older person there who started talking to me suddenly and said, "There was something really good that happened to me recently. Last week, I had my grandchild was born, and they just showed me this baby picture, and I don't even know who it is." And so I could only just smile in response. But this is just how Kansai is. If you sit next to somebody, you're automatically friends with them. So there was this, there's one person who just gave somebody a whole ton of bread just for sitting by them and talking with them. And so this is kind of a similar type of custom that would have been back in the days of Jerusalem. And you don't really worry about other people's opinions or whatever. You just become friends with them. So these two disciples that are mentioned here were talking about Jesus, and then Jesus came up to be with them, and they didn't even know it was him because their spiritual eyes were closed. At this time, Jesus got involved with their conversation and started talking about himself based on what was written in the Old Testament. In Luke 24:27, it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." This would be amazing. And this would be the best conversation you could have, ever possibly listened to. This is just amazing concept. After that, the two disciples had a meal with Jesus. And when Jesus broke bread, that was the first time when they realized it was truly him. Their spiritual eyes were open. When they realized that, all of a sudden, though, Jesus was no longer visible. These two disciples looked back over everything that had happened, and they reflected, saying that, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They realized that through Jesus speaking in the word, that he truly was with them. As we just a little ago talked about how Jesus is with us and how we first have to hear about him, it's true that for many of us would have had doubts about who this resurrected person is and how they could be really with us. However, if we truly look at God's word and respond to it, we can see how the resurrected Lord speaks to us. Through the word, we can really meet the resurrected Christ. In the Old Testament, it speaks about the Israel people and how a Messiah is predicted to come. In the future, when we read the Old Testament, we can see how these prophecies were truly about Jesus and how they came to pass. When we read the New Testament, and especially the Gospels, we can see just who Jesus was. We can see what kind of teaching he had, and also how he was a very trustworthy person. we can see why he needed to die on the cross and what meaning there was in his resurrection. And as we looked at study net last time, we can see how the resurrection has to be true. That's how we can meet Jesus. We can learn about him intellectually first, and then through truly reflecting on God's word, then we can learn about how Jesus truly is God. In Minamichi Church, we have this opportunity for people to read through the Bible every Saturday morning and share their opinion, their thoughts on every day. On a daily basis, we have a daily mana, which is spreading God's word every single day via line. And this was created because of the desire of people to learn more of God's word. And for a lot of people, that's how God speaks to them. There's one person's testimony I'd like to share with you now. You've perhaps heard about the Lion Corporation in Japan, and it's possible to use their toothpaste products and so on. The founder of this company was by the name of Tomijiro Kobayashi, and he is a Christian. Tomijiro, at the age of 36, was working in Kobe, and he started to go to church and became a Christian at that time. When he turned 39, he started a matchmaking, a fire matchmaking company, and he ordered a lot of machinery from France and bought a large amount of lumber to create his company. He was about ready to start the company, but just at that time, there was torrential rain in his area. All of the lumber and the machinery in the storage unit was washed away. And not only that, the lumber broke down a bridge in the overflowing river. So now he had to pay for the liability for compensation in addition to everything he lost, with a huge debt at hand. Tomijiro was in despair and started thinking about committing suicide. He put a lot of rocks in his pockets and was thinking about which bridge to jump off of. And as he was walking, there was a word from God that really hit his heart. And that's Hebrews 12:11. All trials are something that you can gain something for, and it can be a benefit to you in the future. That word was the one that his pastor had told him when he was baptized, and he realized that God was going to use whatever trial came his way to benefit him in his life. At that time, he realized, oh, this is the resurrected Lord, and he truly is with me. He was really encouraged by this word, and he was able to overcome a lot of difficulties that came along after him. He started up this Lion Corporation, and that's how he still was able to be successful. At first, if you think about his past, you wouldn't realize that what he had gone through to get to where he was. The resurrected Lord and his word and following it is what led to his ability to create this company. It's the same for us as well. We all have different circumstances in our lives, but through the word of the Lord, God speaks to us, and we can remember and have the conviction that the Lord truly is with us. The resurrected Lord doesn't always speak to us, only speak to us through God's word, but through other things as well. And one of these is through the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And that's the final point I'd like to go over today, the third point. It's the state of the disciples meeting the resurrected Lord through experiencing the Holy Spirit. Thereafter, the resurrected Lord appeared to the disciples, first to Peter, and then to the others, aside from Thomas. Then after 8 days, he saw the 11 main disciples, including Thomas, they were able to physically see Jesus at that time and truly believe that he had been resurrected. When you look at this truth, you may feel really jealous that they got to see him. If we had been able to see him, it would be so much easier to believe, some people may think. However, for us, we have a form of grace from God that the disciples didn't have. And that is that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we actually get a helper, the Holy Spirit, who comes to live within us. Through the Holy Spirit, we can meet the resurrected Jesus, and it's almost like seeing him in a physical state. I'd like to share a little bit of my testimony to end the sermon today. As you know, I've grown up in a Christian home and a pastor's home, and so I heard about Jesus on a daily basis, basically. I knew that Jesus was one who had died for our sins and was resurrected, and I've just known about this since I was little. However, when I was in the stage of puberty or so, I had a lot of doubts. I was like, well, is Jesus really with me? And is he really guiding my life? And I was like, why would somebody believe that? And it's like, and I thought that way because I hadn't really met Jesus. And so I had a lot of doubts in my heart. When I look back in myself in those days, I thought I believed in Jesus, but I did have a lot of doubts. And I didn't really see that there was a relationship between Jesus Christ, who had died and was resurrected 2,000 years ago, and myself. So I wasn't really accepting this truth. However, God even provided for me an opportunity to truly come to know this resurrected Christ. And I still remember clearly when I was 25 years old, on January 30th, 2009, I was going to seminary, and I was in my freshman year. And in a worship service there, I really spiritually did meet the resurrected Christ at that time. And it was kind of something like coming up within myself. And I really felt that he was speaking to me, saying to me, I took your sin upon myself on the cross, and I love you so much that I was willing to give my life for you. I experienced that, and I can't deny that experience. That I know that Jesus truly did that for me, and I really met him at that time. I know that he is always with me, and I've never doubted that since then. From that experience, I know that that experience really did was a turning point in my life and changed me considerably. It's likely that some of you maybe have the same types of doubts and maybe even have been baptized, but you don't really sense that Jesus is with you or that he's guiding you. There may be times where you don't believe this or you're anxious and so on. However, I encourage you to be reassured that Jesus is with you, and he is walking with you. He will meet you, and through the Holy Spirit living within you, Jesus truly is beside you at all times, and he will give you that assurance. Through today's passage, I encourage you to rethink about this. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you today. Today we looked at the resurrected Christ and meeting him. Through today's passage, we've looked at the disciples, first of starting with Mary Magdalene and how she heard about him first through first, even though she didn't believe what had happened at first. That's true of us too. It's very difficult to believe in Jesus just hearing it for the first time. However, over time, we can see how even the disciples on the road to Emmaus came to be able to learn about the truth, and through God's word, they were able to actually believe in this truth. We know that grace is available to us today as well. We also learned about how the disciples saw Jesus physically in a resurrected state and how we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can have a similar type experience in our lives. We thank you for this form of grace bestowed upon us. We know that the resurrected Christ continues to be with us and provides guidance in our lives. Allow us, Lord, to continue to have that conviction and allow us to walk forward with you and strengthen our faith in such a way. We know you are a great giver, Lord, and we ask for your continued guidance and ability to be able to truly believe in you and your word. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you, praying in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now, in this coming week, and forevermore. Amen. We have a few announcements and we'll close for today. Please refer to the screen in front. First, information about the support, financial support opportunity for the Joyful Christmas this year. It's the Summer Marché. Will you talk in French? Yes? This is information about the Joyful Christmas production we put on in December. We're going to have the Spring Marché in July. And we thank you for your contributions made to the earlier Marché we had before. So the next one, once again, will be in July on the 27th and 28th. It's going to be at 10:30 to 1 o'clock. There's going to be a lunch and also a kids' dance workshop at 1 o'clock as well. The lunch will be on Sunday once again from 10 to 1, and it'll cost 400 yen. The dance workshop will only be on Sunday, and it's going to be for kids. So I'd like to explain a little bit about this. We are going to have food and handmade items for sale. And these items that are sold, the proceeds will all go to support the Joyful Christmas. If there's anyone who would like to make any contributions, provide homemade goods or food, please let us know. Just let me know or put a note in my mailbox as well. As for food, it has to either be brought the day before or the day of the event. We're going to have an Asian-style lunch. And the last one we had, it was hot dogs. And we had a lot of Americans and other people from the Western countries help with that. This time, it's going to be an Asian-style lunch. And so we're going to have people from Asian countries help provide the lunch this time. It's, once again, 400 yen. As for the kids' dance workshop, it is geared for kids ages 6 through 12. And the first 20 kids to show up will be able to participate in this. It's a cost of 500 yen. And they'll be able to learn dance from the teacher called Hana, who attends third service. That's all. Thank you. I really encourage you to come to this. Last week, Hiromi Soma gave a report, and she's reached Oxford